Now, imagine you've come home from the Home Depot store and you've had a good dinner and now you're having a late and romantic night. You've just finished an amorous encounter with your partner, and suddenly you discover that your head is snapped off. If you were an insect, this might be the moment when you picked up your copy of Dr. Tatiana's Sex Advice to All Creation. Dr. Tatiana is the alter ego of science writer Olivia Judson. Her new book lays out the evolutionary biology of sex in the form of advice columns for every creature imaginable. Olivia Judson recently spoke to NPR's Jackie Lighton.
What is so delicious about this book is that you have put us in the minds of all creatures, great and small. And what was it that you noticed about praying mantises and fig wasps and moorhens that made you think they needed a Dr. Tatiana?
Well, some of these problems are pretty extreme. After all, the male honeybee, when he's during sex, he literally explodes. And in fact, it was his problem that first germinated the idea of writing a sex column. So the queen flies off and 25,000 males will chase after her. So obviously the odds of having sex at all are pretty low if you're a male honeybee. And any male that actually succeeds in catching the queen literally explodes. He falls to the ground and his genitalia remain in position as an attempted chastity belt.
It's unbelievable what they go through out there in the natural kingdom. I mean, it really does make our mortal human two-legged mammal problems rather diminutive.
My main emotion after finishing the book was I felt pretty glad to be human.
All right, let's try a few of these letters. Do you mind?
Not at all.
Dear Dr. Tatiana, my name's Twiggy, and I'm a stick insect. It's with great embarrassment that I write to you while copulating, but my mate and I have been copulating for 10 weeks already. I'm bored out of my skull, yet he shows no signs of flagging. He says it's just because he fell madly in love with me, but I think he's just plain mad. How can I get him to quit? Sick of sex in India.
Well, it turns out that very long copulation, I mean, Twiggy has the world record, this particular stick insect, species of stick insect has the world record, but copulation for some days and hours is not uncommon. Butterflies sometimes copulate for hours. It turns out that, we think that this is a sort of the ultimate form of mate guarding. So everyone's encountered mate guarding. You're at a party talking to a nice, handsome man, and your boyfriend keeps popping up at your elbow. And pretty much all organisms experience this at some point if they form any sort of association. And, for example, in some species of grasshopper, after sex, the male will stroke his mate with his antennae for some long period of time. And any male who doesn't will find that the female's rushed off and gone off with the next guy.
You kind of write in here that, for the insect kingdom, it's kind of not only mate and die, but you, in order to mate, you have to fend off all the competition.
Yeah, it's pretty bad out there. Finding a mate is not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, just ask a peacock. I mean, he's got to carry around this enormous tail, and half the time he puts it up and he sort of does his dance and he shimmers his tail and it catches the light, and to us it looks very beautiful and impressive. But most of the time, peahens don't pay any attention at all. They sort of carry on scratching the ground and look completely bored.
Then of course there's the whole question of gender bending, which it turns out in the animal and insect kingdom is far more elastic than we find it even to be amongst the world of mammals, I mean human mammals, Homo sapiens. Dear Dr. Tatiana, my son cuts a fine figure of a manatee, and I'm very proud of him. But there's one problem. He keeps kissing other males. What can I do to straighten him out? Don't want no trouble in the Florida Keys.
Well, it turns out that homosexuality is something that biologists have largely overlooked because homosexual behavior doesn't lead to reproduction, and so it sort of got brushed to one side. But once people did start looking, they discovered that certainly some organisms engage in homosexual behavior, and it's not simply a question of mate deprivation, which was one of the early assumptions. Oh, well, they just can't find mates, and so they just, it's biological exuberance or whatever. And it's you find it in penguins, and the adelie penguin males will copulate with each other. In dolphins are pretty elastic anyway in their sexual tastes. They will copulate with sharks, turtles, seals, eels, and so a little bit of gay sex is, nothing exceptional. And in the Amazon River dolphin, the males will sometimes insert their penises into another dolphin's blowhole. The blowhole being the bit on top of your head where they come up to breathe. It's sort of like nose sex. So some homosexuality is pretty common. I mean, in rhesus monkeys, males prefer to have sex with each other than to mate with females who are there and available and ready. In Japanese macaques, which is another monkey, females will fight males to have sex with preferred females. So it's much more common than people have thought.
You know, I just have to ask, what interested you in evolutionary biology? Was it the sex lives of the creatures?
Well, so how? In fact, I started my interest in evolutionary biology through, in fact, an interest in asexuality. The fact that asexuals don't do well shows that sex is necessary, and so I became interested in the whole question of what sex is for. Then I realized that it's really at the very heart of evolutionary biology. I mean, obviously there are other aspects of evolution besides sex, but sex is driving a lot of the most spectacular things that we like about nature. You know, if there wasn't sex, there wouldn't be any flowers, there wouldn't be any antlers, there wouldn't be any fancy tails, there wouldn't be bright colors and feathers and all of these sorts of things are driven by trying to, you know, get your seed spread around.
Why did you decide to write an advice column to all these creatures?
The idea came up at a party, and I was at that time working as a journalist and writing a piece for the Christmas issue of the magazine. I was supposed to be writing about sex, and it wasn't going very well. It was all sort of boring. And I wasn't really quite sure why. And I went to a party with a couple of colleagues, and we were standing around in the kitchen talking about some of the material in the column, like, you know, these honeybees where the male explodes and so on and so forth. And we were sort of joking about what it would be like if you were Ann Landers and you got a letter from somebody saying, you know, my lover has just exploded. And we were like, oh, actually, well, why don't we try it? So I tried it as a one-off thing for the Christmas issue, and it was, you know, entirely to be entertaining and so on. But then I realized that actually it had seemed to me to be a very effective way to make natural history vivid and also to raise serious scientific questions. All of the questions that the organisms raise are real questions, and sometimes we know the answer and sometimes we don't. And I thought it was sort of a useful device for sort of making the science sort of more accessible and more real, and also not just presenting what we know, but also some of what we don't know and what we would, you know, what we need in order to know it.
Are any of these animal experiences relevant to us human beings?
I find the diversity of nature absolutely fascinating. That was part of what I wanted to discuss. But I think the other thing is, you know, there are certainly many situations where, you know, that are relevant to humans. I think, for example, knowing that that monogamy is very uncommon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think it's very likely to be true that for some people, monogamy is genuinely more difficult than for others.
You know, the variety is incredible.
Well, I can talk about it, think about it, write about it, dream about it for hours. Absolutely.
Okay. Dr. Tatiana, since you're also a wonderful poet, perhaps you'd leave us with some of your thoughts. I'm sure this will be up on a lot of bedroom walls.
When you gaze at a couple and wonder what trait makes him him and her her, beware, for it's easy to blunder and be false in what you aver. Some creatures change sex before tea time. Some others find two sexes dull. And that virile male fish has no free time. He's got all his kiddies to lull. When it comes to the topic of gender, Mother Nature's been having some fun. Take nothing for granted. Remember, you won't find any rules, not a one.
Dr. Tatiana, thank you again very, very much.
No, not at all. Thank you.
Olivia Judson is the author of Dr. Tatiana's Sex Advice to All Creation. She spoke with NPR's Jackie Light. We want you to know that our very own Petra Mayer produced and Ivan Burkett recorded our visit to North Carolina. Thanks tonight to producer Stephanie Martin of WFDD in Winston-Salem and Chris Ann Parr in Greensboro. Tracy Wall directs, Martha Wexler edits, and Walter Ray Watson produces with DeVar Ardalan, Susan Stone, Jordana Hochman, and Petra Mayer, who we mentioned before. The technical director is Neil Ellis. Audio engineers include Jerry Tennant, Peter Alina, Kevin Waite, and Bill Deputy. Key Molesky is our reference librarian, and the executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown. I'm Steve Inskeep. That's All Things Considered from NPR News.